I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hello, Squishters, and welcome to this week's Fat Chat. Just a little content warning for this episode. We're going to be talking about food, our relationship with food, sometimes when we've had sort of not great relationships with food. So if this episode feels like it might be triggering for you, give it a miss. Come back next Tuesday when we've got some other content for you, or go back and listen to some old episodes. But yeah, then we'll see you next Tuesday if this one's not for you. Welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that always asks to see the pudding menu before deciding on its starter. And hey, this week, we're going to be talking about intuitive eating.
I'm George from Full of Figure, Full of Bust, and I no longer feel guilty for eating chocolate for breakfast.
Woo-hoo! Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and I'd really like to get through this podcast because I would really like a snack.
Oh, snacks.
And don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We are Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So come join our Squishterhood, join the Fat Chat community on Facebook, and come carry on the conversation.
So, intuitive eating. Tell us, Rivki, what does that mean? What is that all about?
It's really, really interesting. So intuitive eating is a self-care eating framework which integrates instinct, emotion, and rational thought. And it was created by two dietitians, Evelyn Tribole and Elise Resch. I really hope I said those right. In 1995. Intuitive eating is a weight-inclusive, evidence-based model with a validated assessment scale and over 100 studies to date.
Amazing.
So it's something, it's, you know, it's rooted in science, dietitians. Mm-hmm. It's not just us making things up. And it's a really, really interesting way to look at our food consumption.
So would you say that's something that you do? And, you know, what does it mean when you apply it to your life? What does it mean when I apply it to my life? Are you and I doing it? And are we following it strictly? Are we taking elements of it and making it work? Let's get into it. How do we make intuitive eating work for us?
It's such an interesting phrase because I think it's one that I very much saw blossom, as it were, out of social media. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a term I ever heard growing up. You know, growing up, I heard probably what lots of our listeners heard about was like Weight Watchers and Slimming World and other diet groups. And that was very much my concept of learning how to eat was through dieting. It wasn't through intuitive eating. You know, we've done episodes on diets, so guys, if you want to go back and listen to sort of our journeys, as it were, then please do go and revisit those episodes. But I think it wasn't until I was much older and I'd got to a really good place with myself that I was doing intuitive eating without realizing that I was doing intuitive eating. Like, I didn't know what it was, but I think I just got to a place where I could balance what I was eating and understanding what I wanted and why I wanted it, and that was okay, and that relationships with food is complicated. I've not like studied it, or I actually haven't read these books, so I'm gonna go and read these books.
I have,
but yeah, I think it was a phrase that I learned through social media and then realized I was doing it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm the same in that I think social media and, like you say, Slimming World, Weight Watchers. I actually even saw an advert yesterday for Light Alive, which was a picture of a small boy that said, do you want to see him grow up? If so, basically join this because you're fat and you're going to die.
No.
Like, I was shocked when I saw it. I wish I'd remembered to take a picture, but I was too busy getting changed in the street for some street style photos.
Classic George.
Yeah, so that's what I always thought of the same, that if you want to transform your body, you have to do this one size fits all dietary approach where the biggest thing that you can do within this is lose weight, and be damned how you do it, be damned how your relationship with food looks like after you've done this. The most important thing is that the weight on the scales goes down no matter what you do. And definitely when I've lost weight before. I have tried these one size fits all diets. So people are always asking others, what's the secret to weight loss? Because everyone who loses weight does so in a different way. Losing weight comes down to a series of factors. So it's your attitudes to deprivation. How well do you cope when you have less food, when you are not able to eat certain foods, when you have to make your portion smaller? It's your motivations. Why are you losing weight? How long can you do this for? It's about what access you have to certain food groups. It's about whether you're happy to track calories. It's about how you eat. Are you feeding a family and therefore eating at meal times, or feeding a partner? Or are you the kind of person who stress eats? Are you the kind of person who doesn't look after themselves properly when it comes to food? That's what weight loss is, and it doesn't suit everyone to do the same thing. Even twins who live in the same house together may not be able to lose weight in the same way, but diets don't take that into account. But intuitive eating, it's not a weight loss thing. That's not what I'm saying about intuitive eating, but intuitive eating is basically a style of eating that basically puts you in control and doesn't tell you that you need to follow this. Your plate needs to look like this much with a carb and this much vegetable, and you can't put fat and this on the same plate together. And if you have a chocolate bar, it's called a sin. And if you have to weigh yourself exactly the same time every week, and if you haven't lost weight, you failed that week and that whole week, and all those experiences you had with food, that was a write-off because the weight didn't drop. You know, that's what intuitive eating is, and what it means for me is taking back control and not following another program. So yeah, I've lost weight. I've spoken about it before. I lost weight before my wedding. I felt so restricted, and I didn't feel like I could ever sustain that way of eating. And I didn't sustain that way of eating. And that was the point. I couldn't sustain eating dark chocolate instead of milk chocolate because I really like milk chocolate. And so the weight came back on. It's about not restricting yourself to eating certain meals at certain times. So I personally don't really like to eat breakfast. I just don't wake up hungry and I don't want breakfast. Who decided that we needed to eat breakfast and have it at that time? And that's what it looked like. I personally eat a big meal in the middle of the day, a smaller meal in the evening, and I snack like a motherfucker because I love snacking. And if you were to tell me to eat three meals instead of doing that, I would really consciously have to think about my food. It would really change the way I eat, and it would really make a difference to the kind of meals that I would prep and plan. Whereas right now, it's very intuitive. I eat when I'm hungry. I try to stop when I'm full. That's pretty much how intuitive eating is now. I don't look at chocolate as something evil and naughty and something that for 3 days I will not allow myself to touch before chomping down on 100 chocolate bars because I've restricted myself so far. That's how it's changed my life. I'm not associating labels with food. I'm not adhering to certain rules. I'm listening to my body, what I want when I want to eat. And it's honestly, I feel like relieved around food. I used to feel worried about going out for meals with friends, like when I was in the midst of a weight loss cycle. Every pound that came back on, I would berate myself. I would regret everything I just eaten. Every time I lost weight, I was like, good, okay, brushing my teeth at 4 in the afternoon and not eating anything for the rest of the day was really good, even though all I could think about was food, all I could smell was food, all I could see on social media was food. Robbie was starting to look quite tasty at that point. Yeah, it's like freed up my headspace and my mind. And I'm not, you know, the strictest follower. I definitely still fall into pit holes, which is something we'll come on to later. And I definitely still have a little bit of guilt around food, and I can feel myself sometimes falling into those diet culture traps and like feeling like, okay, maybe I should restrict this and that. But I try really hard to just listen to me. If I want to eat, I'm eating, and I'm not just adhering to meal times and diet culture patterns, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's so intertwined with getting rid of that guilt about food. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really like about intuitive eating, is that kind of attitude of like, I really want the biscuit now, and so I'm going to have it, and then I'm not going to spend the rest of the day or the rest of the week being like, well, I've ruined everything, what is the point? Start to actually listen to your body rather than maybe tell your body what it mm-hmm. has to have all the time.
Diets can be very unrealistic when they want you to cut out or cut down on a whole food group that maybe brings you joy or nostalgia or things like that. So like you say, if you want the biscuit and have the biscuit, it's that balance. Because if you don't have the biscuit, are you going to be craving it and thinking about it? But if you do have the biscuit, are you going to be beating yourself up? And it's trying to work out that happy medium and that balance, because a biscuit is something that might give you that little burst of energy, that little burst of sugar. It might be just a really nice thing to dip into your afternoon tea when you're feeling just a bit oh, and you just need that perk. It might be a biscuit that your granny used to give you when you were younger. There are so many things intertwined with food. Food makes us happy. It makes us satisfied. It makes us safe, especially during this pandemic where everything is really uncertain. Food can be really comforting. That is why it is literally called comfort food. It can be a way of just making you feel happy. Like on planes and stuff, one of the first things they do when you get in the air, when people might feel a bit nervous, is they bring around like a drink and a little snack, because it makes people feel good and better and comfortable and happy, and you're munching on something. And there are so many associations, and that's what intuitive eating is. It's about saying, if you want the biscuit, have the biscuit. Don't beat yourself up for having the biscuit. It tasted good. It exists. If you want to have a few less biscuits and you can get to that happy headspace where if you're eating too many and you're going too far with it, then have a few less. But you're not telling yourself that biscuits are evil and not to be eaten, because I won't stand for that kind of slander against biscuits, if I'm honest.
Guys, we would love to know if you have adopted intuitive eating. Have you tried it? Did it work for you? Did it not work for you? Are you really curious about it? So head over to @FatChatPod, drop us a line, or join the Fat Chat community and let's get a post going about intuitive eating on there and have a little debate.
How do we apply these intuitive eating rules and headspaces in trickier situations? You know, do you ever feel like you slipped up, and do you ever feel like you really have to like rein it back in? Does diet culture ever sort of rear its head and make you like remember the sort of older way that you should think about food? How do you cope with that?
Oh my gosh, all the time. I think a lot of us grew up with those kind of diet adverts, that diet messaging, and that messaging that, you know, certain food groups were bad. And I think, you know, I do still see having those crisps and biscuits and chocolates as a naughty treat. And it shouldn't be naughty. It should just be what I fancy. But I think then it's also, it can be quite difficult sometimes in those situations where people think that if you're having a salad, for instance, in a restaurant, that that's not intuitive eating, that that's part of diet culture, when really you might just fancy the salad. Mm. I personally prefer brown bread, brown pasta, and skimmed milk. It's got absolutely nothing to do with diet. It just makes me feel less bloaty and like there. So that's what I eat. That's always what I will choose.
Brown bread is fucking tasty.
Yeah, that's always what I'll choose. And it's actually not to do with diet culture at all. That's just, it makes me feel better afterwards. As much as I like white bread and white pasta, I know that later I'll feel a bit bloaty and I won't enjoy that feeling. And I want the feeling I had at that meal to carry on throughout the day, rather than then it becoming something in my head where I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have had that because now I feel like X. Mm-hmm. So I think intuitive eating can work both ways in that respect. It can work in the sense of, oh, not treat yourself, let's see. It can work in that respect of like, oh, I'm having the biscuit or a chocolate bar because that's what I need right now. Like if I've not slept well, then I know that I need quite a lot of sugar and caffeine throughout the day to keep me through work. And I'll just have those things and I won't berate myself for it. But I think because of diet culture, when a fat person orders a salad or something healthier, there's this kind of expectation, maybe when you're out in your head, you think, oh, they think I'm doing that because I'm trying to be healthy, when actually a lot of the time that's just the food I enjoy. Like I enjoy fish and fresh fish and salad and veg. Like I love having, like loved eating loads of vegetables
style.
Yeah, that is like that nice. Is my absolute preference of how I like to eat. And so to me, that's my intuitive eating. But I think social media has also maybe muddied the waters sometimes a little bit, in the sense that I feel like it's almost been taken on board as something of just treat yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it is almost that like defensive, I know I'm bigger and I'm eating a salad, but I'm not falling into that trap. And it's almost trying to diffuse the language that people might use and be like, oh, you're being good today. It's like, no, I'm eating a fucking salad, Karen. I'm not saving the world. Yeah, definitely with slipping up. If I look back to why I eat in certain ways, like I did this thing with my counsellor actually, when I fall into patterns or habits that I don't particularly like, she's like, how old are you when you first came across that habit or thought that habit was bad? If you were to say to me, George, why do you always have to finish your plate even past the point of feeling full and then you feel regretful? Why are you eating up all of that food just because you've cooked it? You could leave a bit and have it later. If I look back at how old I am, I'm like 9 or 10 and I'm at home and my parents have been working all day and they've cooked this yummy food and, you know, they've prepared something and they want me and my sister and I to eat it because we're together as a family and eating. And that's not a slight on my parents. It's not anything that they've done wrong. It's not saying what nasty people they were. My parents and your parents as well, they are the generation before that were living through a war and living through rations, and food was, you know, any food that they got was sacred and had to be eaten, and things were very different. So they would pass on that attitude of like, I've put this food in front of you and you are going to eat it, to our parents, who would then pass it on to us a little bit. And as much as it might sound silly and ungrateful, if you are sat down in front of someone's cooking and you don't want to finish the plate or you want something slightly different, obviously you don't want to be rude to people, and sometimes it is just easier to eat it and there's nothing wrong with that. For me, it's definitely fed into my own way of eating that. Like, I have to eat everything in the fridge and I have to eat everything on my plate. And that's where I kind of slip up in trying to separate, am I actually hungry or am I just eating this because I've spent an hour cooking and preparing it? But actually, I've been nibbling at it while I've been eating it and I have had a fizzy drink and I'm feeling a bit fuller and I'll probably come back later and have a bit more. I don't need to eat this now. So that's where I definitely slip up. It's trying to unlearn childhood eating patterns that didn't serve to make me happy, that just served to make me feel full and miserable and dissatisfied because I haven't eaten the thing I wanted. I try very hard now to eat what I want at times I want and as much as I want. And yeah, it's hard to unlearn that. I also definitely am with you on the sort of being bigger, and for me it's being bigger and feeling like a fraud when I talk about intuitive eating. So when I talk about it with friends, I feel they might look at me, or talk about it on Instagram, I feel people are like, but you're fat, why are you telling me to eat in a certain style? Because I'm still falling into that trap of thinking just because my body is bigger, it's not worthy to talk about food and health and mindfulness. But actually, I feel like my headspace around food might be better than a slimmer person who is constantly depriving themselves and looking at every calorie and every label and really not actually making decisions to make their head happy with their food and their stomach happy. I may be fatter, but that doesn't make me less qualified for like the way I eat, because I genuinely have found my relationship with food is so much better. I've stopped using those terms, like Rivki, you were saying treat earlier and then you caught yourself. I've tried so hard to stop using those terms. I don't beat myself up or apologize for how I eat. I don't make excuses if I'm ordering a bit more than like other people that I'm with. It's about, I've changed my language, I've changed my headspace, and it's genuinely changed me for the better. There are so many ways you can have good and bad headspaces and be healthy and unhealthy. And I feel like my headspace around food is genuinely the healthiest it's ever been. And that to me is so important. When I was however many kilos lighter than I am now, my headspace was unhealthy. And it's finding that balance between my body doing what I want it to do, me feeling okay with whatever health journey I'm on, but also not taking a meal time as a time to like beat myself up. It's time for this week's self-care tip. And this week, our tip is to keep an eye on the way that you shop and order food. Are you choosing what you think is healthy in inverted commas rather than what will make you truly happy? Are you falling into familiar cycles of deprivation and putting certain food types on pedestals? Make choices that will satisfy your brain and your stomach and try to shop intuitively. A little bit of each food group is going to be perfect for you. Now it is on to our fashion segment with Slink editor Rivki. What have you got for us this week, Rivki?
Hopefully by the time you guys listen to this, in the UK at least, we'll be coming to the end of lockdown 2.0, or it would have just finished. And I think everyone, I don't know about you, but I've seen so many people put up their Christmas trees and decorations already.
Everyone! Yeah, I mean, do you, babes, if it makes you happy. But yeah, so many people.
I feel like everyone just needs a bit of joy and a bit of twinkle and something to look forward to. And hopefully, you know, festive season is not going to be normal this year, but hopefully we can have a bit of some kind of normality and joy. And so I think on that note, basically, I'm going it all in on festive fashion.
Yes.
That's not over the top. You know, a cozy Christmas. So I think before it would have been sequin dresses, we probably would have had, you know, a big discussion about what to wear to parties and Christmas parties and work dues. Mm-hmm. They're not going to happen this year unless they're on Zoom. So, I mean, if you want a top half dress, feel free. But I think you're going to see a lot more on the high street of embellished knits,
really beautiful loungewear. And I think if you're spending more time at home, if Christmas looks like it's going to be at home, treat yourself to some really beautiful cashmere mixes. Get yourself some embellished knitwear, something that you can really just add to your wardrobe to give a bit of festive cheer, to give that Christmas jumper feeling. I've seen so many pearl embellishments, twinkly details, lurex thread, anything that's kind of just going to uplift your wardrobe. And the thing that's really nice about festive sweaters as well is that you can wear them with your joggers, you can wear them with jeans, you can pretty much wear them with everything. So they're so versatile. And they'll definitely be back in fashion next year. So I'm going to pop my favourite over at Fat Chat Pod on Facebook and Instagram so that you can invest in a really gorgeous bit of festive fashion that's not going to kind of feel too much for the situation we're in now.
Okay, guys, I mean, she's not here, but of course we are carrying on Hayley's favourite, aka just the tips. And this week, we cannot claim that these are our tips. We are taking these straight out of the intuitive eating book, and we wanted to share with you the amazing 10 principles of intuitive eating because we think they are so great. They make so much sense, and hopefully you guys can take away a little something from that and start to feel like maybe you can start your journey into intuitive eating once you've heard these. Number one, reject the diet mentality. So throw out those diet books and magazine articles that offer you the false hope of losing weight quickly, easily, and permanently. Get angry at diet culture that promotes weight loss and the lies that have led you to feel as if you were a failure every time a new diet stopped working and you gained back all of the weight. If you allow even one small hope to linger that a new and better diet or food plan might be lurking around the corner, it will prevent you from being free to rediscover intuitive eating. Ah, starting with a bang. I love that one.
Yeah, that is strong. I feel good about that one.
Yeah.
Number two, honour your hunger. Keep your body biologically fed with adequate energy and carbohydrates. Otherwise, you can trigger a primal drive to overeat. Once you reach the moment of excessive hunger, all intentions of moderate, conscious eating are fleeting and irrelevant. Learning to honour the first biological signal sets the stage for rebuilding trust in yourself and in food. That yes. is so true. You know, I think over the years, especially on social media, carbohydrates have become the enemy, but they're your energy. You need them. And we need food. We are animals. We are beings. We are machines. We need energy to come in so that we can do things. It's so true. If you leave it and you think, no, I'm going to try and not eat. And then suddenly you need to eat. I find that when I come home from work and I just start grazing at absolutely everything in the cupboard because I didn't take an extra snack because I'll be like, no, I'll be fine till dinner. And honestly, I'm just like a small squirrel foraging like a crazy thing, just trying to get anything.
I actually did this the other week. I went for a photo shoot. I genuinely made like a child's pack lunch. So in one tub, I had apple slices, cucumber slices, and cheese. In another tub, I had some boiled eggs with lots of mayonnaise. We'll come to why there was lots later. I had some pepperamis. I had a yogurt. I'd packed my own spoon. And then, yeah, I was having like my cheese and apple together, and I was dipping my cucumber slices in the extra mayonnaise. And I made sure, because I'm so bad when I do long journeys and photo shoots, that I'll drive for 3 hours, shoot all day. And then on the drive home, I will go to the service station like Pac-Man, and I will eat everything that I can see. And I will feel so like, oh, mentally and physically unwell, but like future-proofing yourself. You will get hungry. Hunger's not a bad or a weak thing. Honor it. It's like your car running on empty. You put some petrol in. Yes. I feel all pepped up this week. Woo! So number three, make peace with food. Yes, call a truce and stop the food fight. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat. If you tell yourself that you can't or shouldn't have a particular food, it can lead to intense feelings of deprivation that build into uncontrollable cravings and often binging. Yes, when you finally give in to your forbidden foods, eating will be experienced with such intensity that it usually results in Last Supper overeating and then overwhelming guilt. Oh my God. This is why I love intuitive eating. It's just, yes.
Do you feel seen?
Oh, I mean, I have read the book, so that's probably where a lot of my headspace has come from. But yeah, just how true is all of that? Are you listening to this and nodding along, guys? I feel so evangelical. I feel like I'm like, woohoo, hands in the air, guys. Honestly, this is my church, the Church of Intuitive Eating.
I really love this next one. Challenge the food police. This is something I've definitely tried to adopt over the years. Scream a loud no to thoughts in your head that declare you are good for eating minimal calories or bad because you ate a piece of chocolate cake. The food police monitor the unreasonable rules that diet culture has created. The police station is housed deep in your psyche, and its loudspeaker shouts negative barbs, hopeless phrases, and guilt-provoking indictments. Chasing the food police away is a critical step in returning to intuitive eating. I try and do this for myself and for others when I hear people talking about good and bad food.
Yes.
But it's so important to like really internalize this message, and you will slip up. I slip up all the time. I do it all the time when I reach for the biscuits and crisps and think, oh no, I should be good. You've got to get rid of those phrases. It's so key to this message.
Amen. Number 5, discover the satisfaction factor. Ooh. The Japanese have the wisdom to keep pleasure as one of their goals of healthy living. Oh, yes, guys. In our compulsion to comply with diet culture, we often overlook one of the most basic gifts of existence, the pleasure and satisfaction that can be found in the eating experience. When you eat what you really want in an environment that is inviting, the pleasure you derive will be a powerful force in helping you feel satisfied and content. By providing this experience for yourself, you will find that it takes just the right amount of food for you to decide that you've had enough. Oh, this is why my headspace is so much better, because I do tell myself you can eat that. And it does actually make me relax around food and chocolate a bit more than I used to, because I actually at the moment have about 4 kilos of chocolate in the house, I'm not gonna lie. But knowing that that's there for when I want it, and eating that in my own time when I want it, not as some secret or naughty thing, but as some, I'm gonna sit on the sofa and eat this and enjoy this, genuinely just makes it taste better and makes me, like it says here, eat as much as I want. I mean, sometimes a little bit more, but who's counting, you know?
Feel your fullness. In order to honor your fullness, you need to trust that you will give yourself the foods you desire. Listen for the body signals that tell you that you are no longer hungry. Observe the signs that show you are comfortably full. Pause in the middle of eating and ask yourself how the food tastes and what your current hunger level is. I think this is something so many of us struggle with. I know I struggle with portion control and knowing how much to make. Dan is actually amazing at working out portions. I feel like he's some kind of magician. Like he always makes just enough food, or is very good at being like, this is 2 meals worth, whereas I've made it, and I'll be like, I'll just eat it and I won't feel comfortable afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I think
because it's on your plate. Yeah, and yeah. That is built into you from probably childhood. Finish what's on your plate.
I think that's such an important one, is like actually recognize when you're full and when you're going to go over into being uncomfortable, because actually that's mm-hmm. not, it's never worth it.
No. Cope with your emotions with kindness. First, recognize that food restriction, both physically and mentally, can in and of itself trigger loss of control, which can feel like emotional eating. Find ways to comfort, nurture, distract, and resolve your issues. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we all experience throughout lives in lockdown 10 times a day. Each has its own trigger and each has its own appeasement. Food won't fix any of these feelings. It may comfort for the short term, distract from the pain, or even numb you, but food won't solve the problem. If anything, eating for an emotional hunger may only make you feel worse in the long run. You'll ultimately have to deal with the source of that emotion. Wow, we've been taken to therapy. Okay.
This is
yeah,
deep.
I feel that as well. You've got to fix what it is that's making you feel bad, or try and control it rather than just always reaching for the chocolate as comfort. Because like it says, sometimes we can still, I think it's that hangover from diet culture. Sometimes we can still be like, oh, well, I feel bad and now I've eaten chocolate. It's about what can I do to make myself feel less bad that isn't always eating. Sometimes it is eating and that's okay. Sometimes it's going for a walk. Sometimes it's having a wank, a cry, a sleep. Whatever it is, guys, just try and do everything kindly.
And I think that leads so well into the next point, which is respect your body, accept your genetic blueprint. Just as a person with a shoe size of 8 would not expect to realistically squeeze into a size 6, it is equally futile and uncomfortable to have a similar expectation about body size. but mostly respect your body so that you can feel better about who you are. It's hard to reject the diet mentality if you are unrealistic and overly critical of your body size or shape. All bodies deserve dignity. And I think this is something that we talk about, and something that, George, I feel you really hammer home a lot, is that even if you wanted to lose weight, you can't do it from a place of hating your body. You've got to treat your body with love and respect in order to get yourself to a really great healthy place, whatever that looks like for you.
Definitely. And like, just quickly on the genetic blueprint, I saw this great meme. I feel I live my life through memes, but it says something like, we all know that one person who can eat what they want and not put on any weight. Why do we refuse to believe that the opposite is possible? Because you know what, some of us have slow metabolisms and don't eat much in order for us to gain weight. Just like, don't always look at your friend or partner or someone you follow on social media and think you can follow what they're doing and get that same body. It's okay if your body runs at a different pace. It doesn't make your body any worse. Please believe me, guys. Movement, feel the difference. Forget militant exercise. Yes, intuitive exercise. Yes, my favorite. Just get active and feel the difference. Shift your focus to how it feels to move your body rather than the calorie burning effect of exercise. If you focus on how you feel from working out, such as energized, it can make the difference between rolling out of bed for a brisk morning walk or hitting the snooze alarm. I mean, that's so true. Intuitive eating, I'm big on it. Stop following what everyone else on Instagram does. Stop thinking that you have to go to the gym in order to be working out. Be intuitive. Move your body in a way that feels more joyful and natural for you.
And finally, honor your health. Gentle nutrition. Make food choices that honor your health and taste buds while making you feel good. Remember that you don't have to eat perfectly to be healthy. You will not suddenly get a nutrient deficiency or become unhealthy from one snack, one meal, or one day of eating. It's what you eat consistently over time that matters. Progress, not perfection, that counts. And I think, again, that comes back to that diet culture, that falling off the wagon mentality. You can have days where you eat what you want. Every day should be where you eat what you want. It's not this like one particular moment in time that will change the course of your eating habits over a lifetime. You've just got to be kinder to yourself and be more gentle. Honor what you want and what you need, and what you need will be different on different days.
Amen.
And of course, every week we have our Who to Follow, because the only diet you need to be on is a social media diet. But this week has a little bit of a difference. Instead of following an account, why not get yourself some reading material, get offline, close down Instagram, and read George, and read Intuitive Eating, a Revolutionary Program That Works, a book by Elise Resch and Evelyn Tribal. And remember, if you've got the book, if you've read it and you want to carry on the conversation, head over to the Fat Chat community, start a thread, message us on Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
So that is all for this week's Squish the Hood. Don't forget, as we said, follow us on the social media. So let us know, like, what have you thought of this episode? Is this a message that you needed to hear? Is it something that you adhere to? Has it made sense? Has it clicked something in your brain? Have you decided to throw away the Slimming World books? If so, yes, you know, hopefully this is an episode that is much needed and something that will make a lot of sense to people, and you guys can stop sort of having that horrible unhealthy relationship with diet culture. And there is a better way, we promise. Very evangelical about it all. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you are listening, and if you are on Apple Podcasts, please do give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. Or if you're on social media and want to pop us a message and tell us about something that's happened or the way the podcast has made a difference, you know, we love to hear from you. We love to know that it's working. And we've got another awesome message to read out this week that we got in on the Instagram.
This one's anonymous, but it says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Listening to you three has been the highlight of my long dog walks. You've made me laugh so much, and I realise this whole body hating is stupid and that I should just love myself here and now. I have always fed into diet culture, but no more. I refuse to belittle and pick at myself ever again and won't let others do it to me. I got married this Saturday. Congratulations. And I got a few sneak peek photos, and instead of focusing on my double chin as I was laughing, I was just focused on how happy I looked marrying my husband. You three and the Squishterhood really are going to take over the world. Thank you for making me love myself and realise how much of a goddamn sexy bitch I am.
I love this message so much. And I also, like, I hear the whole photo thing. That's inspired me as well.
Yes.
So thank you very much for your message.
Ah, that was such a lovely message. Thank you so much. That's all for this week.
See you next Tuesday.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.